This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
Columbia Journalism Review is asking for help from the public. CJR wants to create a complete and accurate map of America's news deserts, places with no daily local news outlet. It's kind of hard to imagine that such places exist, but indeed they do.
Unfortunately, I know in my time I have witnessed this as well, where newspapers have gone away in the print side. I think some of the most noteworthy was, the Rocky Mountain News in Denver. Denver, Colorado used to be a two-newspaper town, and the Rocky Mountain News, I believe that went away around 2009, 2010, if I'm not mistaken. I can also speak to my old neck of the woods in southwestern Illinois, where I had worked for a number of years. And the group we were part of housed a number of papers. I worked for the larger daily. But over time, between 2009 and 2011, three of those newspapers that had been by then had been reduced to dailies or weeklies also went away. And so what happens is that these smaller communities that that were more rural, that had their own news and had their own birth announcements and weddings and obits and so on and so forth, they were now thrust upon the bigger paper, which I worked for. But do you think that as we diminished with our newsrooms and lost folks to retirements or layoffs and so forth, that we were covering that? Of course not. And there's not enough journalists to do the journalism that is out there that's needed. And this is just a hazard of that.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't find this very surprising. Having lived in just Macomb and McDonough County for the last 6 years, I've watched some local news presence dry up or leave completely, and which is always unfortunate. Number one, because while there's fewer and fewer jobs in this business, you want to see a healthy, a thriving journalism community out there. But number two, when you are served by a community that has so few or no news outlets, well, you're just not being informed. And the very few that remain, it is harder to get information sometimes from organizations, governmental organizations. They feel like they can make a threat maybe that, oh, well, we're not going to give you this information unless you wait for us to give you a press release, things like that, things we've discussed before. Mm-hmm. So they feel that they have more clout, and it can put journalists in really difficult positions of getting answers from people who don't necessarily have to because no one else is asking them.
So the CJR is looking for places with no daily local news outlet. I know there are some areas around here that have, for example, weekly newspapers rather than daily. Do you think that makes a difference to have a daily newspaper rather than a weekly?
Absolutely. Though, is there the economy and the business to support that? Hence, is why we have this problem. But yes, I think there's a definite need for more journalism and more daily news. But when we don't have the business to support that, or the subscription or the readers to support that, then that's where we fail. But I think getting back to what the CJR is trying to do, I think this is a good example of some good service journalism, to where we need to find out where these deserts are and to find out where people are underserved. And maybe, if anything, given the condition and the situations that we have, maybe we can help at least refer them to something else. Or maybe, and this would give us some the impetus to try to serve folks better that are definitely underserved right now.
I used to work in Elgin, which had I worked at the radio station there, and I don't think that place has a newsroom anymore. They probably still have a daily newspaper, but having one less media outlet there, I think, probably hurts things a bit. Certainly, they can get a lot of coverage out of Chicago newspapers and Chicago radio and television stations, but they're not finding out about what's happening in their own particular town the way they would with a local radio station and with a local newspaper. The same thing here, as Jasmine was referring to. When I came to town, city council meetings, you'd have three newspapers there and three radio stations, and sometimes the TV stations would come up from Quincy. I know I've talked about this before on Shop Talk, but now You've got the daily newspaper, and you've got this radio station, and sometimes student reporters, which is nice, but it's there are certainly a lot fewer eyes and ears on things than there were just 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, and if it weren't for those student reporters, it would really just be you and one other journalist in this area that would be reporting on these things. And I think it's important to have more journalists out there. It's for the public. That's who we're serving. I was taking a look at some of the surrounding areas. Mercer County, no daily newspaper. Also Henry County, no daily newspapers. The population there is 50,000 people. You know, I mean that's not a lot of people for a county. You see a lot of rural areas where it's drying up. But it's not just rural areas. It is also urban areas that dailies are becoming fewer and fewer. So it's not just a rural problem.
Well, as a former journalist who has worked in Henry County, I can tell you, and having worked there between a span of about 17 years, initially beginning my career there and then doing a little time there last summer, I can tell you for a certainty that newsrooms and the staffs are not what they were, and they just don't have the means to do that. And it seems that just the product is suffering because there's nothing to subsidize that or to support that. And in my 16 years in the greater St. Louis area, I recognized and saw newsrooms dwindle and our competition across the river with the network TV stations and then the bigger newspaper across the river. They also pulled back staffs as well, and it's continuing to do that. And where we had maybe twice the staff, a number of bureaus, and we got to some of these areas, and we got to cover them, and so did the Post-Dispatch across the river, and they had a bureau in our backyard, and we had a bureau in circulation in theirs. Well, we pulled back on that, and we've kind of conceded the coverage that we used to give because we just don't have the resources or the manpower to do that, and we're suffering from that, and I think it shows.
Well, I think one other point you're sort of referring to here, Will, is too, that some communities might not be actual news deserts, but if they let go of senior staff and they bring in a lot of young journalists, you lose a lot of institutional memory. And I think that's been a challenge in this industry, too.
I think so. And I know it's just speaking of the paper where I came from, we had somebody who had retired. And essentially, he was kind of asked to come back. And he was a popular columnist, a couple of popular columnists, actually. And he was asked to come back because that's what people bought the newspaper, subscribed to it for. And so there's been some of this leeway or some of this compromise to bring some of that institutional memory or that institution back to that newspaper. But you're right, when somebody new comes out and comes on board and they're from out of town or from the area, or not from the area rather, that you lose that kind of identity as well.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking young journalists. I mean, we all have to start somewhere, right? But sure. There should be that mix, too, so that you do have some of that institutional knowledge.
Yeah, when you're filling the shoes of someone who was there and then they're suddenly gone, and rather than maybe trying to take someone under your wing and try to show them the ropes before you leave, that makes a big difference. But what's happening and has been happening for the last 10 years or so in this industry is the fact that someone is suddenly cut or laid off, and that person that's going to take over your beat or your position or your duties are not being shown the ropes or how to do that. And I think we're losing that, and you're kind of it's a baptism by fire, if you will, and you're not really having that opportunity or that benefit of that expertise.
If they do indeed even hire someone to replace the person.
Good, yes, that's an excellent point. Absolutely.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.